Step into your private luxury premium blocked party episode. The content you can only get by giving us your money. Look at you, you're such a big time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another bonus edition of Blocked Party. This is the Canadian education program for foreign podcasters, number 7. I'm John.
I'm Stefan.
And we have a great guest with us, a returning guest to the show, one of our faves here. She is a writer for The Ringer and a Jeopardy expert. And we thought no better person to fit this episode. Claire McNear is here. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Claire.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming back, Claire. This is, you know, we thought you would be the, you know, the perfect fit for this episode because, yeah, for those of you who don't know, you've written an entire book about Jeopardy. And then over the last couple of years, you've sort of become the de facto Jeopardy expert online. You broke a lot of the news about Mike Richards, and you followed Matt Amodio's run very closely, and now Amy Schneider. And we thought, you know, if we're going to review Canada's most iconic, I guess, Jeopardy adjacent game show, Canada's Smartest Person, who better to get than you?
I am thrilled and honored. And I will say, I like the premise. Like, Jeopardy doesn't even promise it's going to identify America's smartest person. So, like, I feel like this show went in with a lot of confidence.
Well, maybe okay. Too much confidence. Too much. Having watched an episode of it.
Certainly too much confidence. Yeah. Like, this is okay. So, Claire, I mean, obviously you've talked to a lot of former Jeopardy champions and stuff like that. And I do think, at least obviously I've read your book, and just from knowing a lot of Jeopardy champions and stuff, it doesn't seem, for the most part, even the best of Jeopardy champions, I don't think say to themselves, like, I am the smartest person in America. Like, it doesn't feel like they really, like, it doesn't feel to me anyway, like that is something that they truly believe. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah, I think that's about right. Like, I think your average Jeopardy contestant has some perspective, or like they know that they just really know whatever handful of categories and are not, in fact, the number one smartest human being in the nation. But I think, like, usually your average Jeopardy contestant is probably like the smartest person any of their friends know. And like they come in with a lifetime of being like the, oh man, you got to talk to Bill about this or whatever. So partly, right. But in a very tiny sense.
Yeah. And I mean, this show, I honestly completely forgot how this show worked. I was thinking it was going to be more like Jeopardy and more like just like, you know, general knowledge and trivia and that sort of thing. I don't think there was really any trivia at all in this show, like at all. There were no questions and answers like that.
I will say, I don't want to be rude, but I have some concerns about how you lot are identifying your smartest person.
Okay, well, we'll get to that in a second. I will introduce the show. Sorry, just before I do that, Claire, you know, what is your general... I'm going to go ahead and assume you've never heard of the show Canada's Smartest Person before, but do you have any experience with Canada in general? Have you been up here? Traveled to Canada? Or, you know, what is your sort of just Canada experience in life?
Yeah. Let's see. This I am embarrassingly, horrifyingly ignorant. I've been to Canada one time, Montreal in the depths of winter, like the first big snowstorm of the year. I was like, that's when I want to see Canada for the first time. So I unfortunately have not been to much of Canada at all. I know a lot of Canadians, lovely, lovely people. But I would say in general, I am really going to disappoint you guys with my Canada knowledge.
That's okay. I mean, that's honestly, it's a low bar with some of the guests we've had on. So I think you'll be just fine. Just the fact you've been to Canada puts you ahead of like, I think like all of our guests, basically.
A decent number of them for sure.
So after watching this, like, did your opinion of Canada change at all? Like for the better, for the worse?
Well, again, really concerned about the, you know, the intelligence aspect of this. And I mean, I think I would like to go to grad school in Canada based off of this show. I think I would like to have a chance at that. No, everybody, you know, everybody seemed very nice, right? Which is the cliche.
That's our
everybody
whole
was
thing.
Very yeah. polite, yeah. very smiley, proud of each other, you know. It was a very wholesome show.
It's like a government sanctioned show too. It's like paid for by like John. I was gonna say Dan doesn't pay taxes, but me and John.
Yes, I do. Oh, okay. I pay taxes.
Yeah, if anyone is listening, Dan does pay taxes. But yeah, we paid for this show essentially. We funded this show.
Yeah.
Well,
I like
you.
To believe all of my taxes go to producing this show.
Yeah, this
I
and
would, I would love
Frank
to
Angela
fund a quiz show. That sounds great.
Like yeah, I mean, I just wish it wasn't this one. I guess is what if I could say anything about it, but
yeah, I would like to fund a show like Are You Smarter Than a Grade Fiver? Because that's what we would call it up here.
Yeah, exactly. So Canada's Smartest Person is a show that has aired four different times. It's supposedly not dead. I don't know if COVID is preventing it from being done. The last series was done in 2018. But the Wikipedia page and from what I can see online does not say that the show has been canceled or that it's never going to run again.
Yeah. Cause were there like longer breaks between them sometimes? It was almost like a special. It wasn't like a nonstop thing.
So
that's kind of common with game shows though. At least I feel like in the US they eventize it, right?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. So the first version of the show actually aired in 2012, just as a 2-hour special. And then it was made into a series. The first full season aired on CBC as a 9-part series in 2014. They did 8 of these regular games. We watched one of the regular games for this episode. And then they would do a final with the winner of all the regular games to determine who was Canada's smartest person.
Was the episode we watched, was that season 1?
That was season 2.
Okay, yeah. Because season 1, we were discussing this earlier, John, but the winner was a CFL player.
Yeah. That was actually the special. A CFL player won the special.
Okay. That was Peter Diakowski.
Yeah. Peter Diakowski.
A cousin of a friend of mine. And he played for the Hamilton Tiger Cats and he played for LSU when Jamarcus Russell was there. He's Canada's smartest person also. Yeah.
Does each season's aspiring smartest person have to battle the pre-existing smartest person?
No.
Like, do they get a chance to defend their title or it's just taken from them?
It's
like,
they're executed by the state.
Yeah. When we start a new season,
there can only be one. It's like,
there can only be
thing.
One. Canada doesn't believe in the death penalty except for the person
this is
who
the
wins
only
Canada's smartest
yeah.
person.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. It's the only exception we make. What I think it is it's like the Olympics where, technically, you're not supposed to say someone is a former Olympian, that like once you've made the Olympics, you are an Olympian for life. It's kind of like
or
that.
Like the president, like you still
right,
call
the American
someone.
President. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
President Trump.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we say Canada's smartest person, Lauer. You know, Brendan Lauer was one of the winners of Canada's Smartest Person, as
of course,
you know, all of you guys know and are aware of. So they've done 4 seasons of this. The 4th season of it is a junior version of the show where they actually decided to change the format and make it a traditional reality show format where it is the same contestants over the show's entire run.
Oh,
and they try to find the smartest kid in Canada based on that.
Does it have a different name? Is it
Canada's Smartest Person?
Canada's Smartest Junior. Person?
Junior, yeah.
Okay.
They throw the junior.
Are they like living in like a house and there's like a kind of a Big Brother aspect to it? Or
No. They just show up on the show. Yeah.
Do their parents know about this?
We're very serious about this. The kids get kidnapped in the middle of the night. There's not a, yeah, it's a very weird system. But as you could see as well, when we were watching the show is very successful, by the way, ratings wise, seems to be a boon for CBC. And as you could see during the episode we watched, they allow people to play the game at home along with the show, and you can do it through an app. And the Play Along app is actually an industry-leading success. The first season of the series saw over 175,000 downloads of the app and nearly 1 million individual intelligence tests taken across the country. And as of 2017, there were over 300,000 downloads of the app, making it one of the most successful peer-to-peer gaming applications in Canada.
Yeah, I guess that would be the equivalent, like a million tests would be the equivalent of like 25 million tests in the US, probably, give or take.
Yeah, it's about 1/40th of the population. So whatever, yeah, that, so, whatever wow. that is. Yeah.
It's impressive for us. I know it doesn't sound like much.
No. I will say I enjoyed because they show sort of the leaderboard of the people taking the test along the way. And it was a lot of place names I did not recognize. And one that stood out to me was Upper Tantallon, which I then looked up, and there are exactly 1,038 total households in Upper Tantallon, and they had like two people on this leaderboard. So I'm just like, this has got to be the biggest like a husband event and wife of the week. Something,
right? It's their big thing in Upper. Is Upper Tantallon New Brunswick?
I couldn't tell you. Okay, I hope that's not on the quiz.
It's not. It sounds like it's in Nova Scotia. Yeah. I mean, it was most certainly an Atlantic one. I knew it was Atlantic. I was just guessing New Brunswick, but yeah, Nova Scotia makes sense as well. And then if you've never seen the show before, which is probably all of you, it, as we've sort of alluded to, it is a little bit different than your traditional trivia game. There's no trivia at all. It is designed to test multiple intelligences. It's based on Howard Gardner's theory of multiple intelligences. And so the contestants compete in five different challenges designed to test their abilities in musical, physical, social, logical, visual, and linguistic intelligence.
There's six categories, but they only do five.
Two of them, if you remember, in this game, the physical and the physical and the logical were two. But in any case, the show was hosted by Jesse Cruikshank. And as you could see in this episode, they often would bring on a celebrity judge to participate in the proceedings. And in our episode, it was Dan Levy, who this is pre-Schitt's Creek Dan Levy. So he would be obviously...
Well, pre-Schitt's Creek in the U... Because they did say he was on Schitt's Creek when they brought him on. So I think first season.
The first season in
Canada.
But it
was it becoming like a very popular show in the US. So.
Got it.
He has not yet won every single Emmy under the sun.
Yeah, I don't think he's going on any Canadian game shows now.
Yeah. This show that we watched aired November 8th, 2015. It was season 2, episode 6. And we watched Marco, Amanda, Margaret, and Pramati compete.
I love Pramati.
Was great. So Marco, as we said, was a CFL player for the BC Lions. Amanda.
He was really good too. I remember watching him play. Like he was quite
he was a good player, good football player. Yep. Amanda was a surgeon from Toronto. Margaret was a musician from Halifax, a professional bassoon player. And then Pramati was an engineer from Winnipeg. So let's get into the show. Claire, you know, you texted me yesterday or DM'd me yesterday when you had started watching the show. Just, you know, as an American, like for me, when I turn on this show, none of this was at all surprising to me, how it was set up, the host, none of this was out of the norm for me. Like, what were your sort of first impressions? Like the first 2 minutes you're watching this show, what was going through your mind?
Well, I will say that maybe they explained the theory of different intelligences, but I was not aware that there was like a grand overarching structure. And then, the tweet assembly, vulgar tweet assembly was in fact a linguistic test. Mm-hmm. But that does add some appreciation of it after the fact. I think that there are probably some American game shows that are sort of like this, especially like in the physical challengey sense that has been very popular. In the US. Certainly, I think I expected more trivia or any trivia, I think. But
I was a little worried when they were like, oh, this is all based on some like psychological theory. And I was like, are they going to do like a phrenology test at some point as well? Like,
I got what's a little going nervous on here? Too.
Yeah, it was a bit weird, especially when one of them was like how well, I guess it was it the emotional one or the social one where you had to judge like the eyes and
yeah,
see
that was
like
the social, that was social apparently. Yeah.
I mean, there's probably a lot of smart people who are not going to be very good at that, but like that was like,
I think they should have that one on Jeopardy. I would like to see that.
Absolutely.
Added.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like the sports categories on Jeopardy basically. But, that was so funny to me. And I think that's the one, maybe I did the, I feel like I nailed all of those ones. Because obviously there's ones that you can like play along at home with. How did you guys do when you were playing along? Or did you play along?
The first challenge, is that the
yeah,
right
like,
terminology?
Yeah, let's go.
Here?
Yeah, let's go.
Let's go. Let's go challenge by challenge.
Let's go challenge by challenge. So yeah, so we get introduced to the four people. Jesse's going crazy, whatever. So the first challenge was a visual challenge, which consisted of six like medieval crests being put onto a giant screen.
That one was really hard.
And the contestants were asked to identify the two that were matching of the six.
And they looked very similar. So it was like they all had like four panels with like two different colors. And they all had like animals that looked very similar, or they had
weapons.
They would have like weapons that looked very similar. And you had, I think like, was it 10 seconds?
Yeah. 10 seconds. Yeah.
I feel like I got three of them out of the six, maybe. And like, it was really difficult. Well, I think also we were watching on like in like 360p on YouTube. So that didn't help. but how did you guys do? Did you guys play along?
I nailed this one. Wow. I'm looking at my notes that I was taking as I was watching this, and I wrote dash move to Canada question mark. So I was like, it's true. I'm Canada's smartest person. It's me. I don't live there yet,
wow.
But
okay.
But you will.
Yeah. Well, this is part of our citizenship test. So yeah, you're going to do great. This was interesting to me because it felt like a Mario Party game also in a lot of ways.
Yes, it was basically. Yeah, there are Mario. Like this is definitely a mini game in many.
Yeah, this is like
games.
A Jackbox game essentially. But yeah. It honestly, actually looking back, this really did feel like a precursor to Jackbox in a lot of ways with like the tweet assembly and all. And even like the I one feels like it could be a Jackbox game. But yeah, I think I got like three out of six. I think there were six of them. But some of them were just like I just didn't have the time. You know?
It was a weird one where it started and my first note was actually, oh, they're giving them way too much time. Mm-hmm. Cause I was like, I was getting it in the first like 2 seconds and then it got progressively harder.
It did. Yeah.
And then by the time they got to the last one, I was like, oh, I got it right. But I was like, oh yeah, I needed all 10 seconds.
I got the first two and the last one, I think. And it was, but yeah, Claire, you got all of them.
Listen, I was not keeping a score and I'm now realizing this was a terrible mistake, but I got the ones I paid attention to. I was busy taking notes. You see, moved to Canada. So
yeah, you were already dreaming of a new future.
I was like, as a Canadian, this will be my first move. And
yeah,
I do know there was there is a comedian in Vancouver who was on the third season of this show, and he used to use it as a credit when you would introduce him on stage. He didn't win or anything, but I think he came second on his episode or something. I was looking it up today, but yeah, I mean, it is a, you know, if you could come up here and win, I think people would be. And you
I
would also
get,
be the
I get healthcare, right? If that
well,
happens.
Yeah. So I mean you get it anyway. But I think people would be you'd be the villain though. Because you'd be coming up and you'd be Ooh. Like, I'm an American, but I'm about to dominate Canada's smartest person. You guys think you're smart. I'm
that's
really,
great. Yeah.
People would
I'll wear the stars
you.
And stripes. It'll be amazing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, this
sabotaging
one...
me in the last round and
oh, you're getting sabotaged for sure. People are going to be so mad at you. Just think of how they'd feel in Upper Tantalon.
I know. I'm afraid. I feel like I may have offended people with that. I'm sure you're all lovely, all 2,000 of you. Please don't come after
me. We do
me.
Have a lot of Tantalonian listeners. So
yeah. Honestly, Upper Tantalon's pretty chill. It's the Lower Tantalon.
Yeah, you got to watch out for them.
I mean, based on their activity with the game, I can only imagine how they're going to respond when they hear that there's a podcast about this game. So yeah. You know.
They're gonna get fired up big time. The one thing I the visual one that really got me was, so Margaret, bless her, well, let's just say her eyes are maybe not like perfectly straight. She had maybe a little bit of a kind of wonky eye thing going on, and she
and
was
the whole only, category was eyes, right?
No. I'm talking about the shield one.
Okay.
They're doing the shield one. They do the first one, which is the easiest. And then the three of them all get it. And Margaret doesn't get it.
Then the host is like,
her and Pramati tied for last, but they were like, oh, Margaret, you didn't get the first one. Like, too bad. And then they flashed her. She's just, like, got glasses and like a wonky eye. I'm like, this doesn't really seem super fair.
The show felt a little mean in some areas, actually. Like, we don't want to skip ahead to it necessarily, but there were a couple of lines from the host where I was like, oh, that's like, you're sort of like rubbing it in a bit, you know? Like,
She was the bassoon player.
The bassoon player, yeah.
What I loved is in the opening, they kind of give their little intros and they had video of her playing, I think it was like a bassoon and a clarinet at the same time.
I think it was two recorders. Like her
it was a recorder and a clarinet, yeah.
I'm clearly a very talented musician, but it's like the proud Jeopardy tradition of letting people get themselves in trouble by being too honest and too enthusiastic about like their weird hobbies.
Yes.
So I think all shows should do that.
Absolutely, no, I think you're totally I know, because that was her, and she was kind of like bragging, which didn't fit well, because she was like, I play an instrument for a living, and then it shows her playing a bassoon, and she's like clearly teaching people how to play it, and you're like, damn, she's good at the bassoon. And then she's like, and sometimes I play two at a time, and then it's like a close-up on her face just jamming on two instruments.
I mean,
at the
can
same
you do
time.
That
no I can't, but it was also just like, oh my god.
Who won that round? That was Amanda.
So Amanda won that round.
Yeah.
Marco came second, and then Pramati and Margaret tied for last. So then we brought out the aforementioned Dan Levy, just getting started on Schitt's Creek, and he used to host a show on MTV Canada with Jesse Cruikshank. So I think that was sort of the
I didn't know that. What was the show?
Oh, it was like the After Party or something. It was called something like that. I can't remember, but they hosted a show together, and they bring Dan out as a guest judge, which is something they did on quite a few of these shows. Mm-hmm. They would try to bring out a comedian or a celebrity. And this was supposedly testing linguistic intelligence. But it was basically the equivalent of the fridge magnets that you get with single words on them, where they were given like 40 words and they had to assemble them into a tweet that was describing, in 30 seconds, that was describing a blind date.
And this, I mean, look, I don't know if this is because it was from 2015 or because it was Canadian, but this was like the corniest. I mean, it has not really aged well at all. Not that they posted anything bad, but they used the word hashtag like way too much, and they were really emphasizing hashtag stuff. In fact, I think at one point Dan Levy, instead of saying like this will be trending tonight on Twitter, he was like this will be hashtagging tonight on Twitter. Yes. Showing a severe misunderstanding of Twitter and hashtags and trending. And Dan is gonna in post add some clips from this segment to the episode. But Claire, what were your thoughts on it?
Well, and again, this is on me for not keeping track of who was doing what, but I know that hashtag sloppy booty ends up being the key to the winner's success. Yeah.
That was Amanda again, I think, right?
Yeah, that was Amanda. Yeah.
But I actually thought Margaret's was better. I thought Margaret should have won, to be honest.
She had
Margaret
hashtag,
had the
right?
Hashtag libido disaster.
Yeah, that was really good. And like, and her like just actual tweet itself before the hashtag made a bit more sense too.
Yes.
So I thought she should have won there. But I think, the sloppy booty probably is what took it home. But just a
it does
very
seem like these blind dates moved very quickly, was the sense that I got.
It was just a very odd. I mean, look, I know this is not actually determining Canada's smartest person, but like, who can put the best tweet together in 30 seconds from one of those like novelty fridge magnet games? Like, I mean, what are we doing here?
They would get suspended for being like a Russian bot immediately.
Yeah.
Well, and I did like the two things I liked were, so they're talking, they're like, oh, talk about a horrible blind date. And then Marco's tweet was basically like, well, I fucked her though.
Like, yeah.
Like his tweet was basically like, I shake my ass and she fucks me. Because of course
he came in last, I think, right?
He came in last, and the football player, and he was like, he twerked like on the show, which was really weird, and
then
awkward.
Made like a Beyonce joke or something. It was a little,
it wasn't good.
And it was then, very 2015. Yeah.
And then Permati's was like, obviously, okay, Permati's a 44-year-old at the time of filming engineer,
well, like an MBA as well, I think.
Yeah, and.
And he's in Mensa, which is
flag. That was his fact, was that he was in Mensa. I don't think he'd probably ever even seen a tweet before. And then his was really good. We kiss, whine, she dance, scream.
Yeah.
And even
I mean, it sounds like she had a great night. Like,
I think he was basing it off an actual blind date, he said, right? Where she was allergic to alcohol and kind of
like that.
Yeah, went a little crazy or something. So, but he was very funny. I did like him a lot. I think I was cheering for him. Unfortunately, I bet on the wrong horse, but so Amanda was like running away with it at this point, right? Because she had won the first two rounds.
Yeah. I thought the interesting part too, just before we move on from that, is that Dan Levy was like the judge, mm-hmm. and they just made him like just kind of do it to their face. Like he was just like, yeah, your tweet sucked. And he's just like standing.
I wonder, like, should he have been allowed to know whose tweet was whose? Because
that's a good point.
I think there might have been some bias in there. And I'd like to see, you know, a blind selection process. I think it would be a much fairer way of finding the smartest person.
That's a good point. Yeah. I think, cause maybe he was like, oh, I don't want the jock to win, you know?
Yeah.
Potentially. So maybe the next time they do Canada's Smartest Person, which hopefully after this episode comes out, they will decide to bring it back. But they'll do a blind tweet thing next time. I think that makes sense. Was it the music round next, right?
No, then they went from there into the eyes.
Right. Okay.
So this was apparently social intelligence,
mm-hmm.
Where they showed, where they had taken like a stock photo and cropped out the eyes of a person in the photo. And then the contestants were given four emotions and they had to identify what emotions the eyes were conveying.
Yeah. And I think I got all of these. It seemed like pretty easy because also, so they would give you four options. And most of the options, it was kind of like, well, you can't tell with like two of these at least, right? These are too specific. So like no one's ever going to pick these. So you could just kind of like eliminate 50% of the answers right away. And then it was pretty obvious. Because some of the guesses, like I'll just say not everyone got like perfect on this, but it seemed pretty obvious to me. I don't know how you guys did.
Well, did they ask the eye owners? Like, I feel like they're just making a subjective like decision about what emotion is on display there. I mean, like there was one of a little girl on a roller coaster and I think she was supposed to be terrified. She might've just been like about to throw up and was just queasy. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And
I would
she
like
could have been having fun
here.
Too, right? Like it's tough to tell.
Yeah, maybe that's what she looks like when she's really happy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Abject terror.
Yeah. But actually, John, I wanted to ask you, so do they don't do the same games every episode, right?
No.
Okay.
So they test the same intelligences.
Right.
I believe the show is the same format every time where there's five challenges, all six intelligences are tested and one of the challenges
is combined. Right.
Two of the.
And then is the gauntlet at the end? Is that always the same too?
The gauntlet, I believe, is also different, but I could be wrong. I could be wrong on that. I'm not entirely sure. That one might be the same because there were some pretty, I guess, well, I don't know if elaborate is the right word, but there were some set pieces there that you could imagine they would use multiple times.
Yeah.
Like maybe now, it's one of those cases where they have like 10 things they might do in the gauntlet. And then when you're on it, you do 4 of those 10 things. Yeah, or whatever.
Exactly.
It looked like one of those dog shows where they make them do the athletic demonstration.
Yeah. Not to skip ahead too far, but they literally had the thing from the dog athletic show or the agility show where it's like the little, like the seesaw thing that you have to like run up. And I mean, that was incredible. But anyway, this one, I think Marco won this one, right? And this is sort of when he started getting back into the game here. I think he ran away with this one, I believe. But then also, well, okay, this sort of pissed me off was that I think Margaret and Amanda tied for second.
So sorry, are you talking about the physical challenge?
No, the eye.
Oh, the eyes. Yes. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think what happened was, so they tied for second and then, the host was like, oh yeah, we have a tiebreaker procedure here. Right. And she never really, I mean, I assume she like told the contestants before the show went live or something. But it seemed kind of weird, to bring it up just in the middle of the show like this and not say it earlier, but it was whoever's fastest to the answer wins. I think, was that what it was?
That was the tiebreaker, yeah. That whoever had answered the questions faster overall got the tiebreak, yeah.
So I think Amanda got second. I think this is when it sort of became apparent that Parvati was... It was not his night.
It wasn't going to go well for him, no.
No.
So I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Quiz Show, but as you might know, if you have, game shows are like highly regulated in the United States because of these 1950s cheating scandals. Obviously, I don't know, maybe Canada does have similarly like punitive rules for if there's any kind of mischief behind the scenes on a game show, but I'm curious. I mean, that sounded like corruption to me.
I don't know. I mean, we don't really have our own game shows. Like most of Canadian television is just an American show with Canada, like The Amazing Race Canada,
Canadian Idol.
Like,
yeah. Who Wants to Be a Millionaire Canada? Like, I was looking at a list of Canadian game shows before this, and I don't know, like, I don't recognize any of them really. But yeah, it's Deal or No Deal, Canada, Family Feud, Canada, Supermarket Sweep, Canada. So, I mean,
yeah, we don't really do our own. Ones. Yeah, we don't really do our own game shows. So I would be surprised if it's that regulated. But it's also like the prizes probably are really bad. So it's like if you're rigging the games, it's like, oh, yeah. we just found out it was a huge cheating scandal. You know, Marty from Antigonish figured out that, you know, you could rig Canada's Smartest Person. Should we do something about it? Well, his prize was a couch. So what should we
do? They get a couch? The smartest person is given.
They would get a Chesterfield.
A Chesterfield. Sorry. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, a Chesterfield.
What was the big prize for?
I don't actually know what the prize is on Canada's Smartest Person. Let me see if I can Google that. Canada's Smartest Person prize.
Obviously the glory, but
well, the glory, of course. Well,
I mean, I'm going to guess it was like $100,000 maybe.
Oh, wow. Well, so for Canada's Smartest Person Junior, the prize is simply a beautiful trophy and serious bragging rights.
Oh, well, that sucks.
I mean, who wouldn't cheat for that?
Couldn't even give them like a scholarship or something to the kids, you know? I do know there is. So I was looking up like news articles about the show, and there was one where the headline of the article, which also just feels so Canadian, it was like Canada's Smartest Person offered job by BlackBerry. And so I guess like the people from BlackBerry like watched the show.
They were like, that's what
they're like, we got to have Canada's Smartest Person working for us. So
do you think it says that on like their office door? Like, this is where Bob works, Canada's Smartest Person.
Oh, if you get no prize, then you kind of have to brag about it, I think. Right. Like, I know. So I was reading there are some really weird articles about this show. So I had talked earlier about Braden Lauer won the show. I think he won season 4. And so he was being interviewed. He's from Alberta and he was being interviewed in the Edmonton Journal. And this is just the stupidest like quote about winning this show. I think what I really learned through my time in the St. Albert school system at Lorne Akins and Paul Kane is that it's great to celebrate learning in a lot of different ways. There were always opportunities to be in a school play or to go out on the rugby pitch and be proud about representing the Blues or be an academic star. And I think it's something that's really celebrated, at least in St. Albert, probably across Alberta, the idea of intelligence in many ways. So I think maybe I'm just a product of that.
Okay.
I mean, so this is a big deal, is what I'm getting from this.
I mean, no, I don't think so. I just read that and I was like, first of all, if you know anything about Alberta, I don't think intelligence is really celebrated there. Not really a province that's known for its highly intelligent people. And then just the idea of like, I could be in a school play or be on the rugby team or be good at academics. Like, isn't that every high school? What high school doesn't give you the opportunity to do all of those things?
Yeah. So we're okay. We're halfway through now, right? We're
on challenge four, right?
Yeah. Oh, right. Cause there's five challenges, right? And because one's combined.
And then the gauntlet.
This next one, I think this was Margaret's time to shine, obviously.
Yes.
And maybe I was like only kind of half listening, but like this one was actually kind of tough. I don't know if you guys played along with it, but this is the music challenge.
Yeah. So this one they called Mixmaster, where they had 8 different samples. So they had like a hi-hat, a bass drum, a robot voice, a guitar, a bass,
and then a synth, an
organ, and an alarm. And then they would play a musical piece featuring these instruments. And then the contestants had to identify which instruments were being played in the song. I thought it was funny because they were sort of like, hey, Margaret, like this is going to be your category. And she's like, I don't play any of these instruments.
How did they settle on robot as a musical instrument? Is that a common instrument in your land? Like, is that
here.
Like love robot, robot bands?
Yeah.
Yeah. We love robot up here. I learned to play robot at a very young age. It was pretty sick. Yeah. Margaret even said that, right? She's like, I've never played robot before. Like she said it like it was a noun instrument. It's like
she went home and she Googled it. Like where can I take
how do you
robot
play
lessons?
Robot? This is so weird. But she did do very well in the competition. They made you identify one with 3, 4, 5, and then 6 of the sounds in it. I thought it was a little hard. I got the first three.
And then I did because you had to get all of them. You had to get every single one right.
Yeah.
So I got the first one right. I think I got like 3 out of 4 on the fourth one because it was actually genuinely tough to tell. There were some pretty sneaky ones in there, and then I didn't even try for 5 or 6. But did you guys play along for this one too?
On the last one, I was watching this with my husband, who was just like confused the whole time, but he had the ingenious idea for the last one where they play 6 of the 8 sounds. He just like looked for the 2 that were not part of it. And so I guess that makes sense.
That's what I did as well. I was even thinking to myself, I'm like, I think 6 is actually easier than like 4 or 5. Cause you could just sort of be like, you could just eliminate 2 rather than try to guess 6.
Wow, that's a good strategy. I guess I'm not Canada's smartest person.
Okay. So was your husband just sitting there like, so wait, why are you watching this?
I think he just kept going like, why do none of these have anything to do with intelligence? Just like over and over, like just getting more and more upset.
That's how we find Canada's smartest person, Claire. We just, we do this. Can I read you guys another article that I was really weird?
Yes, please do.
Okay. This one is fucked up. Okay. I'll just say that right now. Very weird thing to do. This is in the Globe and Mail, one of Canada's largest newspapers, and it's an opinion column from a guy named John Doyle. This is in 2014. And you'll see that he doesn't really review the show in the way that you would think. So the title of the article, the headline, Canada's smartest person is all convoluted cuteness. You see the most extraordinary, gripping things on TV, and one of those things is Jesse Cruikshank's right arm. It's a thing to behold. It's long and works very hard. I wouldn't be surprised if Cruikshank's right arm had its own agent and development deal.
What?
That's the first
paragraph
of the article.
What?
Crookshank.
Does she arm wrestle people in different episodes?
I think he's talking about how she's all, like gesturing. She's always like a
presenting
lot.
With it. Yeah.
Crookshank
she's
is
like
the host.
A game show host. That's what you do. You present with your arm.
Well, he's not done. Crookshank is the host of Canada's Smartest Person, CBC Sunday 8 p.m., a show that has CBC very excited. The network is hoping this thing becomes huge. Well, we'll see. It's not stupid, this show about smart people, but while it's fun, its format is overly familiar and unadventurous, apart from Crookshank's right arm. We searched the country to find Canadians with the strongest, most versatile intelligence, Crookshank declares off the top. She's standing on a circular stage in a wee dress and very high heels. That's the overly familiar part. It looks like lots of game shows. The point of the show is to unveil blah, blah, blah. Anyway, loads of people applied to the CBC to be part of this competitive intelligence test. And as we are informed, 32 unique Canadians battle to prove they're smart to achieve this goal, blah, blah. This show has a serious case of the cutes. Blah, 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 blah. And then he starts going in on her arm again. But there are fun bits, such as the bit in which a model is shown wearing 15 articles of clothing and the contestants, after getting a look at her, must then replicate her outfit exactly. Apart from being convoluted, it's loud, brash, and bizarrely paced. It takes a very long time
to introduce about that.
Theory of multiple intelligences. And we're introduced to people such as Little Ryan, who don't turn up for the opening show. Then he talks about her right arm some more. And then he says, me, I'll give anything on TV a go. And I appreciate the manic effort put into Canada's Smartest Person. But the 2 hour start is an hour too long. There's only so much convolution and cuteness a person can take. And if I'm mainly distracted by Crookshank's right arm, then the core of the show isn't emerging. It is awe inspiring. That arm, though.
Okay, the arm thing is on him. That's like a fetish thing, obviously.
He should not be allowed to watch the show ever again. No. Like, he should have his, like, television license revoked. Like, That is
very concerning. But he is right that it is, like, extremely convoluted and weird. So he did nail that part. But, yeah, the arm thing is maybe, I mean, that's truly insane.
It is. I just couldn't even understand it. It was very, very confusing. To me, I didn't really get it. Yeah. Anyway, I just read that and it really blew me away. And then we get into our fifth challenge. This one was combining physical and logical, where they put the contestants inside one of those wind chambers that was blowing balls all around.
Like ping pong balls. Well, yeah. not ping pong balls, actually. Bigger. It's like the soft ones.
The soft, the soft
like
balls.
Foam.
Foam balls. Most of them were yellow. And then the contestants had to find six red ones amongst all the balls blowing around them. And then the red ones then nine red balls. And then they corresponded to three math equations. So while they were still standing in this wind tunnel, they had to go to this like little compartment and arrange the red balls so that the math equations made sense. Well,
I mean,
I'll open
you
it
know
up
what?
To you guys.
It's a like if they had to combine any two of the categories, I'm glad it was these two. This one was fun. I would love
Marco
to try this one out.
Kills it. At
oh
this.
My God.
He's
yeah.
like, he was, I was like, oh, okay. I believe that you are in fact a professional athlete based on this.
Yeah. He just
like,
dominated.
I don't even remember who he went up against, but it was just like embarrassing for them.
He was against Margaret.
And honestly, Margaret did pretty well.
Margaret did better than the other two. Yeah.
Yeah.
Marco did it in a minute and three. Margaret was like a minute 30. Amanda was like a minute 39. And then they just gave up on Permati. They just were like, yeah, you're last. So you can just stop.
Yeah. I think that's when that was one of the comments where they were like, we're going to put you out of your misery and you can come out of there now.
Per misery, per misery.
Yeah. Per misery.
Really,
that's what they said.
Really,
yeah.
really hoping that they were just going to let him keep going. Like you have to do that until you get all the red balls and you do all the math. Like it might take 10 minutes. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know if you guys felt this, but to me, this one felt like it was rigged to get Marco into the final.
Yes.
Because 100%. They were like, they're like, this is a physical and logical challenge. However, the math problems, they're wildly easy. And it mostly like, I feel like if it was a true math contest, Permati, Amanda, maybe even Margaret all had a real good shot at it. Marco, look, I'm not saying he's dumb. He didn't seem dumb or anything like that. But like, I think I like Permati and his engineering degree over Marco in like a true logical test. Like,
yeah,
catching 9 red balls in a wind tunnel and then solving very basic grade 3 level math problems with them is not, in my opinion, a test of logical intelligence.
Yeah, it was a little unfair.
Well, and because it was the combined challenge, the points were doubled. So it felt like they were like, well, even if Marco's in last, he's probably going to get double the points here and go right into the final. And then that is exactly what happened. So,
yeah, I think so. Out of all the challenges, which one would you guys like to try the most? Because for me, it's that one. I mean, I just like the idea of standing in like a wind tunnel and grabbing stuff. That's a lot of fun to me.
I think I would be terrible at it. Like, I would be in there for 10 minutes just like desperately grabbing air, but I would enjoy the experience. I think
I would be terrible at the math part for sure, but I think I could do okay at grabbing the red balls. I think I would do decent with that. But that one definitely seemed like the most fun to me for sure.
I think I would agree. I would like to do that one the most. And I also would be like, the tweet one would be horrible because I would just be so nervous that they wouldn't pick mine. Cause like with Margaret, like I felt bad for her. They're like, hey, Margaret, this is the music challenge. You're a professional musician. Better not fuck this one up. Like that was kind of the vibe. And I feel like that's what they would do to me if I was doing the tweet one. Like, John, you're a professional comedian. And you have a podcast about Twitter? Whoa, you must be really good at this. And I'd be sitting there like, oh my God, what if I lose the funny tweet competition to
Dan
like,
Levy mocking you to your face?
Yeah. To a 61-year-old retired iron worker. What if I lose to him? I'm going to die. Like, so yeah, I felt like that would have really stressed me out to have to do that one.
Yeah,
Stefan, you probably would have lost because poop wasn't one of the words.
Yeah, I mean, just based on the words that were in there, it would be like when I play Jackbox games, but I'm playing with like coworkers and I have to like tone it down a lot. And I'm just like, oh, this just isn't for me. I just can't do this. I can't do normie Jackbox. It's just not working. But so the final challenge, the gauntlet. Yeah. So there were, I guess it was every category within the gauntlet, right? Was it? Or were there any misses?
Well, they knocked out 2 of them, right? Now we're just down to...
Right, just there's 2 people left. So Marco and Amanda.
Yeah, Marco and Amanda, surgeon versus football player, exactly, Claire. Yeah, so there was linguistic, because they had to do jumbles. They had to like unscramble the letters to make a word.
Dude, that was really easy.
Really easy. They were 3 5-letter words. Marco had a really hard time figuring out candy. Then they did visual, right? That's that circular puzzle thing, I think.
Yeah, and Marco got that so fast.
So fast. Then they did music, because you had to listen to the musical notes. You like push a button and it would play a musical note, and then you had to match it up.
It was a match game. Yeah.
And then it was physical. You had to balance yoga blocks on top of each other and
walk through an obstacle course.
Walk through like an obstacle course.
The dog seesaw. It
literally was the dog agility course. Yeah.
Yeah. You had to take 3 yoga blocks and walk over the dog seesaw. Then you had to do it with 4.
Yeah.
Then you had to stack 5 and do kind of like limbo with it, where you had to sort of walk underneath this bar. And then
the last one was like the traffic board game, right?
Where you have
like the cars, like, rush hour. It was exactly that, which is a very fun game. But it was funny that it was just exactly that game where you have to get the car out of the traffic jam.
Yeah.
And I don't think Amanda even got to that point.
No, she had a really hard time with the dog teeter totter.
Well, she got stuck on the visual one, where you have to get like the swirl to match up. She fell behind there. And then, once she got to the yoga blocks, it was kind of game over at that point. Who did you guys pick to win at the start of the show?
I would say anybody except for Marco was probably where I was thinking this was going to go. And then he just absolutely dominated it at like the last 2 tasks.
Yeah.
So
my real pick was I thought Amanda was going to win. Cause I don't think I really realized how much emphasis they would put on the physical aspect of it.
So sorry, go ahead.
But that really like, put it in favor towards Marco. But John, did you pick Marco?
I did. And I'll tell you why. The only reason is because I do remember, not that I've never seen a full episode of this show, but I have seen segments of it before. And I do remember, like, it sort of seemed like they really wanted to emphasize, like, hey, your atypical person could win this. Like, what we think of as smart may not be smart. Like, they were really trying to play up that angle of it. And then having like a CFL player win the first one. And I had known that because I did research for doing this episode. So I was just kind of like, you know what? I think Marco will have a good chance to win this episode. Cause I think they want it to seem like, oh, you know, we think of athletes as these like dumb jocks, but they're actually pretty intelligent if you think about the multiple intelligences theory.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So yeah, I think they did that a lot. Like, I think it was a lot of like, oh, look, this cashier, this 21-year-old Safeway cashier just beat a brain surgeon. Like, things are not what they seem.
Yeah. So you picked the CFL player because of that.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So he wins this episode. And yes. From what I understand, winning guarantees him a spot in the season finale. Like, correct. Because this was in the past, like, did he win? Is he Canada's smartest person?
So like I said, it's a 9-episode season. All the 8 winners move on to the 9th episode where they all compete against each other. So there were 8 of them. And in the final, Marco Iannuzzi placed 8th.
Oh, no.
Wow.
So the way they did it, though, in the final, in fairness, maybe to Marco, the way they do it in the final is it's elimination style. So he lost in the first challenge. So it was just like like the 2 lowest people in the first challenge were out for the rest of the time. So because he lost the first challenge, he was out. So he didn't even get to show off his physical intelligence or whatever. Tough. But yeah, no, he lost. I will look up here just who won the episode he was on, and maybe we can learn something about them from that. But yeah, so he came in 8th, and Katie Warren from St. John's, Newfoundland, won the show, and she became Canada's smartest person. And she was the one who got hired by BlackBerry.
Oh, wow. So, okay. All right.
I don't know if that tells you anything, but that is that's the show. So,
in a way though, if our guy, our champion was the worst of all the champions, like, was this the worst episode of the show?
I guess logically it was. Yeah.
Logically, for at least for season 2, it was the worst episode of the show. Yeah. Yep. tough to say, you know.
Yeah.
It's good to know that we've just got so many better episodes to look forward to.
Of course.
Smarter. I know you can't wait to watch
more of this, Claire. I know you're thrilled for that. Okay. So, pardon me, before we get onto the quiz, overall impressions of the show, Claire, just now that we've talked about everything and we've, you know, we've obviously thought about it a lot. What are your overall thoughts on Canada's smartest person?
I think I'm a little confused generally. I'm not sure. I think I would give it a different name, though it is a good name for a show, but I think it overpromises and underdelivers on that specific question. And I'm curious how they do casting. Because this is something I think a lot about with other game shows, like, how did they choose this set of people? It was interesting to see somebody with a very different set of skills than the other 3 players in Marco, but, I'd like to see a little more chaos.
Yeah. That's and fair, it was like yeah. pretty chaotic too, but, if this is just one random episode we watched, I feel like there's a lot more chaos in store. John, this is literally the only one on YouTube you could find.
No, there's a couple other ones before.
Okay.
So let me see. This is the this is the casting call for Canada's Smartest Person Junior. So I don't know if this gives us any information at all. I don't know what the process looks like. I can't find any information on that. But it just says this is for anyone looking to have a little fun on TV. If you're an ambitious and outgoing kid between the ages of 8 and 12, you're invited to compete in television's smartest series. Inspired by the theory of multiple intelligences, Canada's smartest person, Junior, will prove that being smart is about way more than trivia, math quizzes, or being a straight A student. Being smart comes in many forms. Canada's smartest person is guided by the theory of multiple intelligence and the idea that smarts and learning comes in many forms: linguistic, physical, musical, visual, social, and logical. Participants will be tested with fun and exciting challenges that are designed to target each intelligence category. To win it all, Canada's smartest person, Junior, will need to demonstrate that they have smarts across the board. To apply, go to cbc.ca/Canada's smartest person, Junior.
Interesting. Okay.
So maybe they just kind of maybe similar to Jeopardy, Claire. They run them through a few challenges that would be on the show, I guess.
I wonder if they do have to do some sort of trivia element in this early phase of it.
Yeah, that could be possible. We'll never know.
I mean, you guys should go for it.
Yeah, if they bring it back,
you can find out.
We'll both try out for it for sure.
Stefan and I will definitely try out for it if they bring us back. Yeah. Okay, Claire, we're at the part of the show that you were dreading the most. This is the Canadian quiz. So for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, we do make all of our guests go through this, and, you know, it's been tricky. It's been a tough ride for people who have been on the show, because it turns out a lot of people who are not from Canada really don't know a whole lot about Canada. But Stefan, can we blame them really?
No, I mean, it's Canada. I understand.
Yeah, I would like to just apologize before we get into this on behalf of myself and my countrymen.
Hey, no problem. I believe that, so Jamie Loftus was on our last episode, and I forgot to write down the score, but I'm pretty sure she has the high score. I believe she's at 5.
Yeah,
Dan is not at her 6. So how this works, Claire.
But yeah, she's the high score.
Yeah, so Jamie Loftus has the highest score. So we'll see if you can pass that, Claire. I believe she got 6 right, just looking back at the questions that we had done before. So you're going to get 2 questions in the easy category, 2 questions in the hard category, or sorry, medium, and 2 questions in hard. The easy questions are worth 1, medium questions worth 2, hard questions worth 3. The quiz is sort of designed so that every Canadian would get the easy ones right. Most Canadians would get the medium ones right. And then the hard ones, a typical Canadian may not know. It's like one that Stefan, you know, might get wrong. Okay.
All right.
So here we go. Question number 1. And so, yeah, Stefan will write down his answer, and then you'll just tell me your answer first. And then I'll just confirm that Stefan wrote down that correct.
Okay. So we're playing each other. All right.
You are playing each other, but don't expect to beat him. This is not really.
I would never.
Yeah, no. Stefan's done very well. He's gotten perfect on a lot of these. Okay, here we go. So in this show, and I will say this one's a little bit more pop culture heavy, this Canadian quiz, so you might have a chance. Margaret is from Halifax. What province is Halifax in?
Is it Newfoundland?
It is not in Newfoundland.
Oh, no. Stefan, sorry.
I don't know if you can see. Nova Scotia.
I mean, I know that you would get that one right.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is in Nova Scotia. So Stefan has 1, Claire has 0. Now, Claire,
I have a cheat sheet on the side of my screen and I decided not to use it, but I'm going to be cheating going forward.
Fair enough. That's no problem. Okay. So this one, Claire, was actually brought up multiple times in this episode of Canada's Smartest Person. So I'm assuming you'll have maybe a little inside track here. So Marco on the show, as we said, was a professional football player in the Canadian Football League, and he won the Canadian Football League championship. What is the name of the trophy given to the Canadian Football League championship winner?
I do know this because I learned it in this episode. It is the Grey Cup.
The Grey Cup. That is
right. That's right. They called this show the Grey Cup for gray matter, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, that was a good line.
I like that he had his ring. Like, I wonder if, you know, he was told to wear his ring on the show, or if he does, in fact, just like wear it 24/7.
I think he wears it 24/7, probably.
The CFL rings are like that size where they're big, but not big enough. Like, it's not like whoever wins the Super Bowl, the ring is so big. It's like there's no practical person on earth could wear this ring on a regular basis. But the CFL ring is like small enough that you can kind of wear it around and it's fine. Okay, so now we're into the medium questions. These are worth 2 points each. So we obviously saw Dan Levy in this show. Of course, we know his dad is Eugene Levy, who very famously got his start on what Canadian sketch show?
It is in my book, and I should know this. Is it SCTV?
It is SCTV. Yes. Congratulations, Claire. Very nice. Good. Very good. Good. Now, do you know what the SC stands for?
Is it Second City?
Second City TV. Okay. Very good, so Claire.
So was it out of Chicago then? Because then I should definitely have known.
No, that. There's a Second City in Toronto as well. So very good. SCTV. Yeah, Claire, you're at 3 points. You're already ahead of multiple people who have taken this quiz. So you're doing well. Okay, so we talked earlier about Jessie Cruikshank and how she was a host on MTV Canada. Which Canada-only music video channel was the precursor to MTV Canada?
Man, I got it. I'm locked in.
TRL Canada? I have no idea.
Much Music?
Much Music is the correct answer.
Much Music.
Much Music was our answer to MTV for quite some time, and then it was eventually bought by MTV and rebranded as MTV Canada.
And our answer for MTV2 was Much More Music, and that's not a joke.
Yeah, Much More Music. It was the adult contemporary, and that's the other thing, is like MTV2 was sort of like a more like alt, sort of indie kind of MTV where they would play, you know, nu metal, and they would play, you know, Radiohead and stuff like that. Much More Music was like the opposite of that. They were like, you want more Dido, right? That was basically the name of, that was the channel's slogan. Okay. Kim's, sorry. The fuck. I just gave you a slight hint. I gave a slight hint there, but that's okay. So the host of Canada's Smartest Person Junior, you know this answer?
I know this. I learned this fact from my husband, who was furiously Wikipediaing next to me. I am guessing you were going to ask me, is it the dad from Kim's Convenience who now hosts the show?
Yeah,
and hosted the most recent season of it.
Yeah, you're right. And yes. Okay. I gave you a hint, but I will give it to you. Yeah. I was going to ask which show Paul Sun Hyung Lee is the star of.
Okay. I knew that one for the record.
I know that you would know it, Steph, and okay, I gave you the thing.
I feel like he's really blowing up right now.
He was in like a Star Wars show.
Was in The Mandalorian, I feel like he's got some other movie coming.
I'm
excited about it.
He's great.
Yeah, he's supposed to be a good guy, from what I've heard. And final question. This one might be a little bit harder for both of you. And I haven't done one of these questions in a while, but you know what? Sometimes we just have to do it.
By the way, is Claire tied right now for the high score?
Yeah, she's got 6 points. Yeah. Claire is tied for the high score.
I did say I was going to cheat. So
earlier we talked about one of the past champions being from St. Albert, Alberta. What is the population of Alberta within the nearest 100,000?
Oh, man. Well, you were having some fun at poor Alberta's expense. So I'm going to guess it's not huge. Let's say 800,000.
I'm going to say 2.5 million.
You both aren't close. It is 4.1 million.
Wow.
So, all right. Well, you know.
I was thinking Calgary's like 1 million, Edmonton's under 1 million, and then the rest would sort of like fall into
the New York City.
Yeah, but I guess Calgary is a bit bigger than that, probably.
So. I mean, I can look it up for you if you want.
I did cheat on this. Calgary is bigger than Edmonton, but...
Yes, so the
those are the only facts that I wrote down, so...
Population of Calgary is 1.4 million, and the population of Edmonton is just like under 1 million. Just under
900,000.
980.
Yeah.
So you have like 2.2 million just right there on its own.
Yeah.
And then you still got some big-ish cities, Lethbridge, Red Deer. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Good, but Claire, very job, impressive Claire. Performance. Yeah. You really, look, again, you talked about it. Sometimes you have to, like, you know, just undersell it and then overperform. You, like, you really
I mean,
great.
I'm excited for, you know, the pandemic to slow down so I can move up to Canada and start,
be our smartest
person. We call it like Canada's smartest American, maybe. So it's less competitive.
That's a little snappy, actually.
I like that.
People who are recently citizens of Canada just to see, like, I feel like the one with that, the problem with that though, is you might get people being like, Canada, the citizenship test isn't good enough. We're letting in way too many people.
Canadian tax dollars going to fund a show for
Americans.
Terrible.
bit dangerous, that's for sure.
Well, I look forward to causing like major social strife. I think I'd like to bring that fundamental element of America to Canada.
We look forward to it as well. Claire, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. Absolute blast to have you back. Before we go, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Well, I did write a book about Jeopardy. So if you are curious about the greatest little quiz show in the world, it is out for sale wherever you buy your books. And that is Answers in the Form of Questions.
Beautiful. Yeah, it looks, it's a great book. I've read it. I love it. And it, I correct me if I'm wrong, but there is a paperback version now that has some updated info.
This whole week, all yesterday, I was finishing up the paperback. So this is breaking news. It's going to be sent off to the presses, I think, in the next week or so. So
wonderful.
And there will be a brand new edition of this book.
Beautiful. And so what can we look forward to in the paperback? I know you've said on Twitter that you're adding some stuff to the original hardcover. What are we talking here?
Yeah, well, so my book came out originally November 10th, 2020, which was 2 days after the death of Alex Trebek. So there was a lot that was out of date in the book. And so I've added a lot of the kind of, you know, about everything that has happened since with all the guest hosts and the Mike Richards saga and the show newly embracing statistics in a kind of sporty way. So it's been a very exciting little time for Jeopardy. So some of that will actually be in the book now.
Wait, I can't wait. It's going to be, I will get the paperback as well because I got to get that new content. You know, I'm all about it. I have the hardcover here, but I've got to get the paperback. And, you know, yeah, you were sort of a key player in Mike Richards' whole thing. And I would just ask just very humbly, if you could do the same to Mayim Bialik, it would be wonderful. So thank you very much. I truly hate her. And if she takes over hosting the show, I will be very, very upset. All right. Anyway, thank you so much, Claire. You're the best. You can follow Claire on Twitter. You're just at Claire McNear, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. So follow Claire, buy her book. Thanks everybody for donating and listening to the show. Again, if you want to donate more, we've got the $100 club there for you. There's lots of cool stuff. Stefan and I have been doing cameos for listeners. We've got a great Discord. You can get ad-free episodes of the show. And coming up in February, our first of our new bonus episode type, Stefan, one of our Sexy Six bonus episodes coming out.
Yes, bonus episode.
The bonus episodes for the $8 and $100 club members. So you can check all that out over on our Patreon. Thank you for donating. Thank you for listening. Thanks again, Claire. And we'll see you guys back here very soon. Goodbye.
Goodbye.